On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What's up, everybody? This is Fred Smoot.
This is Landon Collins.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kerrigan. This is the Redskins Talk Podcast with J.P. Finley.
Back to pass, Haskins, over the middle, caught, Terry McLaurin. McLaurin breaks a tackle at the 50, McLaurin at the 40, McLaurin all the way, electrifying, Terry McLaurin all the way for a Redskins touchdown, oh my goodness.
Haskins takes, looking right, going to throw it right, in the corner, caught back in the end zone, it is Sims, and it's a Redskins touchdown. He got his feet in. Great pass. Great job by Sims to stay in bounds.
What up, everybody? J.P. Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. And I think you should be happy. That was the best possible outcome for your Washington Redskins organization. It finally happened. We've been talking for weeks about the breakout game. Folks, that was it. And what I've been saying for weeks, if not months, is that you'll know it when you see it. Sure enough, today, Dwayne Haskins on the field. You watched it. You saw it. He looked good. He looked like a possible cornerstone franchise quarterback that could go to Pro Bowls and lead this team out of the terrible suck they've been in at the quarterback position without some, you know, there's been a few little peaks here and there, but it's been a lot of valleys. Maybe Dwayne can finally be that guy. We shall see. But I told you, you would know it when you saw it. We saw it today. Welcome to the Redskins Talk Podcast. We are brought to you by the great people at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. I want to tell you, we have a podcast party Thursday night, December 19th, Matchbox in Rockville. More information on our Instagram page, on my Facebook page, everywhere. You can find the information. Just be there, bring a toy, have a cocktail. Mitch is here, Peter here. Mitch is here, Pete is here. How you doing, boys?
Doing great.
Reinvigorated a little bit.
Listen, a little bit of invigoration.
In the moment, I think it's okay for Redskins fans to be mad about not winning.
Of course, of course, of course.
In the moment. But by Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or whenever you get over the loss, like JP said, in the grand scheme of things, this was the perfect game for the Redskins. Your young guys showed out. The receivers all looked good. Dwayne looked good. Dwayne looked the best that he's looked.
The best he's been.
By far. And we've been talking on the podcast about needing a peak game. A game that a potential new head coach can turn and look at and point to and say, this is why I trust this guy. That was today.
Yeah. Let me be totally clear. I know there are plenty of fans that are upset with that loss. Of course. You have every right to be.
Right.
I mean, the Eagles.
Another game where they let the Eagles beat them
right.
After they were.
And there's a problem.
And a backbreaker late in the game. I mean, that's because the Skins fought so hard to win that game. I completely understand that. But my point is the bigger picture. You finally had the Dwayne breakout game. A lot of young players are really starting to step up and make plays. And big picture, Chase Young is the goal. The second overall draft pick
is
the goal.
But Chase Young might not come out.
I'm not buying that for
neither am I.
Half a second. We'll talk about Urban Meyer later and what we're buying from that. But Chase Young is coming out. And good for him to say he's staying. And if he stays, it's not a decision I would ever advise the young man to do, but you got to do what makes you happy. But, I mean, we're way all over the place. Urban Meyer was here at FedEx Field. That's going to be a whole discussion point. But we got to start with Haskins. Pete, I think we've all been fairly critical, deservedly. He hasn't had a strong performance yet. He had it today. I think you have been maybe the most critical, young Peter. So I'm going to you first, sir.
Yeah, it's just the weeks leading up to this, it was always, oh, that stretch of three throws was pretty promising. Or, hey, if he completed that pass to McLaurin, or if this one wasn't penalized, then maybe we'd see it. But finally, for four quarters, and especially at the start, he was on point, delivering passes, moving around well, showing it all, and it just finally was the – this was the 15th overall pick in the draft. Some people say he was overdrafted or whatever, but we finally saw all the talent put together. He was locked in. It's just refreshing. It's exciting, and I'm excited to see if he can build on it. But the fact that he has won of these games finally, much needed, much deserved, and I'm just thrilled to finally see it.
Mitch, I want to go to you, but I want to quickly go read Dwayne's stat line. 19 of 28, 261 through the air, two touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 121.3, which is I won't be shocked if that's double some of his previous games.
Yeah, easily.
He also had four rushes for 26 yards. The two options they ran with Haskins and AP. First off, who had them running option with Haskins and AP? So good for Kevin O'Connell, called a hell of a game.
They ran that last week against the Packers once or twice, but
not so the first one. Haskins has really the incredible fake pitch.
Shot fake.
Lets the defender go for it, then does pitch it. I mean, just masterful work by him.
Creative.
Then on the next one, he sees that the hole's there and just takes off running. And I mean, it had to be a 20-yard gain.
Yeah,
it was a big play in the moment.
On a third and short.
Haskins, with his arm, picked up a number of third downs with passes downfield. McLaurin, Sims were big parts of this. Steve Sims had 11 targets, and you would have liked to see him catch a few more balls. That's a different discussion. But, I mean, they went to Terry early and often. Terry was a monster in this game.
He's the Eagles killer.
He really is.
After in the post game, JP and Pete do a stock up, stock down segment, and JP nailed it.
Watch it on NBCSportsWashington.com.
McLaurin is Apple stock.
Yeah.
You can't get enough of it. You can't buy enough of it. And it's super effing expensive.
Right.
I think next week maybe just gets a Ring of Fame spot and we just get it up there early.
I love that Dwayne was able to get into a rhythm early. Pete, I think, said that they threw on the first play of the game against the Jets as well. But he completed that great pass to McLaurin, which is actually, I think, was the same route that McLaurin ended up breaking for the 75-yarder. We saw Dwayne throw the same touchdown pass that he threw to Sims. He tried to throw that against Carolina.
To Harmon?
No, it was to Sprinkle, I think. Or was it Harmon?
It was Harmon where he put it up.
To Harmon?
Yeah.
He put it in the same spot. Sims was able to make the turn and make the catch today. But you're seeing the maturation of Dwayne. You're seeing him improve week to week. And to come out and get in a rhythm early in that first half was as good as JP famously said that the first half against the Eagles in Philadelphia
was the highlight
of the season. I would argue that maybe this first half.
Until today, it was.
And when you see the 15th overall pick, your potential future first-round quarterback going and playing that well in that spot was amazing to see and really.
Because his numbers at halftime were
reinvigorating.
I mean, you have him, Pete?
I do. 12 of 17 for 178 and two touchdowns. He was averaging 166 yards per start coming in, so he passed that number in the first half. A rating of 143.8.
Well, and I think it's important that his numbers didn't really – you know, he still added another 100 in through the air. The Eagles smartly started playing kind of some time of possession in the second half. I mean – that Philly drive in the third quarter had to have taken 10 minutes. They had the ball forever.
Yep.
There were 100 penalties called. I mean, the game got mucked up a bit, but I was just thinking this. If you had to nitpick Dwayne today, I'm not even sure what you would say.
There's one throw that I think of, and it was I believe it was the first quarter. Sims was running kind of a wheel route. I think McLaurin had cleared out deep, and he kind of threw it to Sims' back shoulder. If you would have thrown it to his front shoulder.
But Sims caught it.
And it was a 15-yard gain.
Yeah. I think there was one.
You lead him a little bit, and who knows, that might be a touchdown.
There was one late.
A couple Eagles guys got their hands on it. Probably should have been picked. That was probably his worst throw. There's not a lot of Redskins in the area. But, Mitch, you said we've been seeing him improve, and I think we have been for the most part. But last week, ankle injury notwithstanding, I thought he played pretty poorly and didn't really inspire much hope. So to see him really bounce back and deliver something pretty extraordinary for him. I don't know if it's extraordinary for a total NFL quarterback, but from what we've been seeing for Dwayne, this is a really massive step. And the throw to McLaurin was exciting. It was well-timed, and that was a great touchdown. That's one you'll see a lot on highlight films, but I think the pass to Sims where he threw him open was a true superstar kind of throw. That guy was blanketed, and we see a lot of Redskins quarterbacks not even attempt that throw lately. Haskins put in a good spot and let Sims get his feet down for the touchdown.
I think maybe more importantly, though, was how quickly he was getting down to Adrian Peterson. We saw him check down real
– Yep.
How many sacks did he
take? We saw him work through
his
progressions, and then get rid of the ball real quick. And I thought that's where you see like the understanding of the offense. You see the game slowing down for him. You see him able to work through his 3-4 progressions, then get back to the
dude
flat.
So he took the crazy sack at the end.
That I think it was a fumble or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm discounting that play entirely.
Right,
for the record.
Yeah,
zero sacks.
Certainly has zero. Really.
Zero sacks. That's huge. That's a huge part of his development. Absolutely.
Because he was coming in at a pace.
At the highest rate in the league.
You just could not function with that pace. And he talked this week, like you said, he needs to know where his check down elements are and be quicker. And the aggressive approach he has sometimes gets him in trouble. Taking no sacks except for that final fluke might be the best part of all from today.
Huge. I think Haskins has his supporters and his detractors, right? And I've long said that his stat lines allow both groups to feel vindicated. There's no detraction from today. He looked really good. And that kind of my point, and we've had this circular argument about 200 yards passing and all of these things, right? And you guys contended that you can still have a good game and not get to 200. And sure, in your hypothetical situations, that could exist. But ultimately, when you're good, you're going to go over that because you're going to have a good, productive, big day. The yardage total wasn't even that crazy. 260 is fine. It's good.
Yeah.
But he had a really, really good game. And I think for the first time, and I know they came back and won in Carolina, and it's a bigger deal to win, and I get that for the players. But for fans and folks that are trying to look 30,000-foot view, most important game of the season
easily.
Today.
Because the Lions win was about special teams. The Panthers win was because of a really good running game and a defense stepping up. This was a Dwayne game, and who gives a damn about the loss? You want to see Dwayne succeed.
What's the difference between 3-10 and 4-11?
Right. The number one item on the checklist is Dwayne, and then there's a gap of 10 lines, and nothing else matters except for Dwayne. And this is a game you can point to and say, look, we have some hope. This guy can do it in the right circumstances.
I also think we saw the offense opened up more today.
Sure.
Maybe it's partially chicken or the egg. I don't,
yeah.
Whichever one it is. But we all, coming into it, Callahan talked to the podium about wanting to get AP to the 90 average 94 yards.
Only had 16 carries.
They didn't give him a lot of carries early, and I think that allowed Dwayne.
Well, in the second half is usually when AP starts to really chop wood, and they didn't have the ball that much.
Right. And it was I mean, but you didn't see – I didn't expect them to come out and throw as much as they did.
Yeah.
I expected they were going to come out and it was going to look semi-similar to what we saw in Green Bay, where there was going to be run, pass for the most part, and it didn't look like that. And I think that helped Dwayne get into a rhythm by giving him all those throws early in the game and let him gain that confidence and the momentum to
two touchdowns on their first three drives. And if you remember, even the first drive, they moved the ball a decent amount, and then they had that like 4th and 4 at about midfield, and they decided to punt, and Tress pinned him deep. So like, all right, it worked.
In terms of an opening drive for them, that should belong in Canton. Like, that's been a huge Achilles heel for them.
I want to do two things, and then we can move on from the Haskins conversation. A few weeks ago, we did the where is he today, where can he be?
Mm-hmm.
All our numbers were fairly low. Does anybody want to obviously today, he was a 7 or 8.
Yeah.
I mean, he was good, dude. He was good on any scale.
Yeah.
So, maybe I'll go 8. He was good.
Yeah.
He was an 8 out of 10 today, which is a huge deal.
A huge step up from the 4.
3s and 4s. Right.
Yeah. Right.
So where are we? Are you lower than that?
I think maybe 7, but regardless, it's a damn good number.
So does anybody want to revisit their potential number for him?
No.
The light bulb was on, man, and seeing that light bulb changes.
Yeah, I think we had 9 for his highs, and I still think this backs it up. I mean, we've been Terry McLaurin a while ago.
I think you were at 9, Peter.
I think you were an 8. You were a little lower.
I thought
Peter
was at 7.
No. I was 7 for today, but I was 9 the whole time for his future. Terry McLaurin is talked about back when Dwayne got the job. He said when Dwayne gets in the zone, it's like an NBA shooter like Ray Allen. He's just locked in and he can't miss. And when Terry said that, I'm like, oh, that's really exciting. I hope we get to see that. And we hadn't seen it yet. And today, I think we got a little taste of it. And I think that kind of locked in-ness hints at his potential of being a 9 or a 10. And now we got to see it, though, because he's been 3-3-3-3-7. Can he be at a 7 next week, an 8 next week, a 6 next week, or will he bounce back to a 3? He's got to build.
Very good point.
Consistency is very important.
Sure. But, okay, so that was one question. Two question. Question number 2. You've contended, Mitch, and I agree with this in some capacity, that you need a really good performance from Dwayne, because we know that whatever head coach is coming in here for 2020, and maybe whatever talent evaluator, if they hire a GM, whatever happens, that person is tied to Dwayne. I don't believe they're getting the number one overall pick anyway, and I think since he's taken Burrow and all of that is off the table, period. But I believe, much like when Dan Snyder hired Jay Gruden, Gruden was charged with, hey, make RG3 work again. Make him be great. I think whoever comes in here to coach, the message will be, make this kid great. That's our plan. That's our future. So, did Dwayne's performance today make Dwayne more appealing to that coaching candidate?
I think yes. I think you needed a performance that you could point to and say, this is what this kid can be. This is the low end of the high end of where he is. He was smooth. He was productive. He didn't take sacks. He didn't throw picks. He didn't turn the ball over. It was everything that you want to see out of a first year quarterback, out of a rookie quarterback. And I think that had we seen three more games that were like the first few games that he started, I think there would have been some questions in this offseason about whether Dwayne is that guy. And right or wrong, I think a performance like this puts those questions to rest, at least as far as he's going to be our guy going into next season. I think this puts the Josh Rosen situation to rest. I don't think there's any question that the Redskins are going to go into 2020 with Dwayne as the plan to be the starting QB.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it fully puts it to rest, put it to bed, tuck it in, shut the door, say goodnight, but because I just think when a new NFL coach comes in and maybe a new regime above him comes in, they really like to try and start with a guy that they handpicked, but this is Dan Snyder's team and he was pretty heavy in the selection of Dwayne, so I think it basically locks it up. This guy's going to be the quarterback. Now you build around him both on the field and on the sidelines.
I don't know that it was necessary. I think a coach, a football executive, is going to take this job because of money and opportunity, and there aren't that many of these opportunities, all that. But I don't know how today's performance can't help, yeah. Right? You're like, oh, wow, that kid's got something. There's something there. Let me work with him.
Right. And for potential talent evaluators, it's something to build around.
Yep.
You can't build an NFL franchise without a starting quarterback.
Sure.
And Dwayne gives you a pillar that you can – that a performance like today gives you a pillar that you can start to work around.
And this is a decent-sized leap, but you guys always talk about how a quarterback on a rookie contract is the most valuable thing in football.
Yes.
It's one good afternoon, but if this guy can do this more often at the price tag he's at, then you can really start getting some nice pieces around him on the roster.
Not to mention all three receivers, rookie receivers, looked good today.
Yeah.
I mean, and that can't be lost on as we guffaw about Dwayne Haskins. Because if the core of your offense are all rookie on your rookie deals and you have team control for a few years, maybe you can go pay Brandon Scherff a little extra because you have some more
Brandon Scherff didn't play today.
So that's another
sure.
question, but
Wes Martin played well.
You can spend money elsewhere when you have rookies that are performing and you draft well.
And third round rookie, sixth round rookie, undrafted rookie, those are pretty good picks right there, or pickups.
Agreed. I don't know that Harmon played well. He had two catches for 22 yards. Let's not.
It wasn't his best day, but he's been a useful supplemental option.
But I don't think the receiver position is such that if they don't get to two and they don't get Chase Young, that Jerry Jeudy at five ain't an option or some wideout.
He should be.
So I'm just saying,
they're not set here.
But I agree largely.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
I want to transition to Urban Meyer because obviously that was huge news. I reported that this morning that Urban Meyer was at FedEx Field. Obviously, once the broadcast started, they showed him sitting in the owner's box, and I think that became a very, very big deal. Terry McLaurin said after the game that Meyer was at the game as Terry's guest. Meyer attended Army-Navy on Saturday in Philly. So, you know, D.C. to Philly is a pretty easy drive. We've all done it. Urban coached Terry. Urban coached Dwayne. Urban coached Alex Smith many years ago at Utah.
The two Utes were hanging out.
The two Utes were hanging out. And Terry was very clear that this was about being there and supporting McLaurin and Dwayne and not about the Redskins head coaching job. I believe Terry when he says that.
Yeah.
That Terry believes that to be true. I am also not willing to completely say, you know, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but I don't believe that other conversations weren't happening too.
Whatever conspiracists are out there, conspiracy theorists.
I don't think
are
you have
there.
To be a conspiracy theorist.
No, but I think there are going
to
be people.
He just tried to say conspiracyists,
right.
By the way.
I think people
conspirators.
Are
conspiracy theorists.
Or conspiracy
theorists.
There it is.
I think people are going to think that the team came to Terry and was like, hey, when you talk in the post game, say that you invited Urban to come to this game. And I, by no means do I think that that's what happened. I think that.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm
no
getting, that's
chance
what I'm getting at.
McLaurin was told to say that.
Right.
Yeah.
Terry invited
Zero.
Him to come
that
here.
Ain't, and that ain't Terry
Dwayne.
Either.
Right. Right. He's not, and he's not the guy that's going to dance.
Right.
But like you said, he sat in the owner's box the entire game. Next to Al,
there's other Alex boxes Smith. You can sit in.
There are lots of boxes.
Right.
This was the best game the there team has played.
You can sit in the
while.
NBC Sports. I tell you what, Urban, if you're listening, you can sit in the NBC Sports Washington box anytime you want. I'll see to it.
You can also come on the podcast if you want.
Open invite.
Podcast party as well.
Yeah, Thursday night, Matchbox.
You're invited from me.
He's already in town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can stay at my house.
He's
Mitch has an extra bedroom.
Invites all over
I
the
have
place.
A whole extra bedroom. Hell yeah, take the whole house.
Remember last year after the podcast party, Pete just slept with the door open in your living room?
Yeah, your couch. Yep.
And Pete was like, why is it so cold?
The door was wide open. Anybody could have came in and robbed the place or robbed me. It was very risky.
That's amazing.
Like you said, it's a long game. The team looked really good. I would bet, I don't have a lot of money to me, but I would bet a good amount of it that at some point Dan or Alex Smith or somebody's like, hey, if you're around next year and want to coach, we could definitely chat about that happening.
I agree.
Yeah.
And here's the thing.
Breadcrumbs.
Breadcrumbs are all over the place.
All if there
are, if
the
there's
place.
Mice, they're eating well.
You might have enough for a giant loaf of
Hansel
bread.
Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah. They're loving it.
Urban has been most connected to the Dallas Cowboys.
I like this point you're about to make.
In Dallas, and let's be clear about this, Dallas is the sexier job than the Redskins. Oh. And there's going to be a number of NFL jobs open, and many of them will be sexy. Today's the scenario changed a bit with Haskins' performance today because – last week, it was like, oh, man, who wants this job? Everybody sucks. Today, it's like, oh, well, they might have a quarterback. So it's funny how a week can change that. But still, the Redskins' jobs is innate with problems. It's innate with unique circumstances. But Urban Meyer, best I can tell, and I've never spoken to the man, but he seems like a dude that likes control. Don't you get that vibe, Mitch?
Most certainly.
Pete?
I think most people in his position like to have control.
Right. We like control. We don't get any. Mitch,
you're
powerless.
Mitch does.
I'm powerless.
You want control. Mitch has control.
Right.
And that's why JP will be taking any shot that's bought for him at the podcast.
Incorrect, sir.
Correct. Mitch, well said.
There are certain situations I'm the commissioner, and that's one of them. You two are taking shots. Anyway, let's do this. Urban Meyer wants to be in charge. You go to Dallas, man. You ain't in charge. Jerry Jones is in charge.
Jerry.
And that's not – now, I know that Jerry was able to hire Parcells, and Parcells had – some lever of control. But, like, you go back to the Cowboys' greatest success in my lifetime, and it was with Jimmy Johnson. And Jimmy Johnson was in charge. And Jerry got mad and eventually ran Jimmy out. And sure, they were able to win one Super Bowl with Barry Switzer, but the whole thing fell apart once Jimmy was gone. The Cowboys have more talent right now. They do, sorry.
A lot more.
But Urban's not going to be in charge. Urban comes here.
Would he be in charge?
Well, that's – I mean, that leads to a Bruce Allen discussion.
Right.
But when Joe Gibbs came – Dan legitimately ceded control. When Marty Schottenheimer came, Dan ceded control and then took it back a year later because he didn't like that. But that we're talking almost 20 years ago now. To me, Dan is different. We don't see him that often. He's not. He is hands-on in spots. Let's be totally clear about that. But he doesn't need to. He's not wondering who's on the practice squad and who you should move up. Jerry's involved in all of that stuff. And I think Dan could at least promise a level of control. Now, whether or not he's able to maintain that is a different conversation. But there could be a promise of control here far greater than would ever be promised in Dallas.
And if Dan is presented with the choice of Urban saying, hey, yeah, I'll suit up and coach the Burgundy and Gold if you get rid of Bruce, then Dan might be enticed to do that and hit a nice hard reset and get the home run hire that we know this team always likes to make. Urban would be a home run.
And you end up with Dwayne Haskins, Terry McLaurin, maybe Chase Young.
Yeah.
It's a nice, solid group of Buckeye there.
A lot of good Buckeye. So
it's interesting. It's interesting. The timing of it is certainly interesting. I mean,
right. How much more? So
somebody invited Urban. So Terry McLaurin invited Urban to come. But somebody invited Urban up into the owner's box, and
I think it's fairly obvious that's Alex, because sure. That's where Alex has been watching all the games. That's part of all the breadcrumbs.
At minimum, someone needed to, and maybe they did realize it and didn't care about it, but recognize what this looks like to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's watching the football game, seeing Urban Meyer in that box and all the Bruce Allen rumors. I mean, there's no...
Well, and let's point this out. What's funny is, I don't know if you guys see it this way, but I finally publicly said what everybody on the beat has noticed, that Dan and Bruce aren't together all that often. And today I saw a bunch of tweets where people took pictures of Bruce on the field by himself and pointed that out. So it's funny how like things can kind of
snowball,
get legs. But I didn't see Bruce and Urban together at any point, which could mean absolutely nothing.
Right.
And they could have been together when we weren't around.
Yeah.
And we'll,
or the cameras didn't show it when they
right,
were.
For sure.
Point.
Bruce is also in the coach's box during the games, because
yeah,
he's involved in the
challenges
and whatnot. So he's not in the owner's box with Dan on a normal during a normal game.
Right.
You should say that in the microphone.
Right. Sorry, my wife is worried about the weather. So I had to text her.
We're getting weather when on Monday?
Tonight and tomorrow.
Oh.
You know what? It's a good thing that you have a pickup truck.
We'll see how long I have a truck.
From
the great people at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia.
See what you're doing.
I mentioned that I have some car trouble, and Biagi is helping me out with a loaner. I don't know if we're supposed to talk about this.
Short-term loaner.
A very short-term loaner.
All right.
I also want to say, go check out Ford Lincoln of Alexandria, Oarsman Ford Lincoln of Alexandria. You know who's driving that Lincoln SUV? Kareem Copeland, our dear friend that
and
covers the Skins for Washington Post.
8 miles away from every
and
other
I
car.
Love that
he's
loves.
So funny.
Have you not seen where he parks it?
No. Redskins Park. He parks it on an island.
So I love that he loves his new car so much. He, you know how there's like two entrances to the gravel parking
yeah, yeah,
lot
yeah,
where we park? You know the first entrance that nobody ever parks on except like the first day of OTAs
when it's packed.
Yeah.
He's all the way
he's
out there.
He's out there. He doesn't want anybody dinging up
his
Lincoln.
There's legit a football field's worth of space between his car and the next car.
We should go do donuts around it next time we're at the park tomorrow.
Kind of weird.
I kind of like that idea. Let's make Kareem squirm a bit.
All right. Pete?
Yeah.
Pete? Oh, boy. Dwayne dropped us an 8 this week.
I know.
The pressure's on.
This podcast is supported by CVS Health. At CVS Health, where pharmacies are just part of what they do, from home care managers to administering IV treatments in patients' living rooms, they bring care to those who need help most. From refusing to sell tobacco to making all their own skincare products paraben-free, CVS Health knows what you don't sell is as important as what you do. And when you put people at the heart of health, people take health to heart. CVS Health, where health is everything, legal required. Not all services available in all states.
Well done, Pete.
Thank you.
I'm actually going to give a can kick to Mitch. You can't make jokes during the read, dude. Just let him read it.
I got pressure on my legs, but I stayed in the pocket and
I'll tell you
delivered
what, that was a
bomb.
It was a middling read.
One your best. You had one good one. I don't remember when it was.
I just don't really know how to make a CVS read about like products pop. I'm given a game plan, I execute it.
You threw
all right.
You threw for like $1.66 there.
Enough.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Urban Meyer, percent chance he takes over the Redskins. Where were you on Saturday with Urban? Where are you today? Because I think yesterday, all of us would have been pretty low. Like, 10%. I mean, you never know. There's going to be a lot of names bandied about. Right. Maybe you were at 15 or 20, Mitch. I don't know. What say you? Yesterday, I think I would have been 10, 15%. They had a chance.
I think I would have been 5%
for okay. Urban.
Yeah, I was at 5, I think.
Where are you today?
I mean, I'm a little bit higher, but I mean, it sounds to me like you're going to be much higher than me. But
the guy was here in the building.
I drop him at 12.5%.
I think an appearance in the owner's box is worth a 10% bump on its own. And then the fact that the quarterback looked good maybe gives him another 2.5%. So I go from 5 to 17%, a little more than 17.
I go to 1 and 5, 1 and 4. I mean, 20%, 25%. Like, the guys, look, they're going to get connected to a lot of names. There's going to be a lot of things, right? But, like, he was here.
Yeah, that's a
and
that's a large breadcrumb.
If I'm doing this right, you know my
– oh, boy.
Kevin O'Connell, I believe, has 1 year left, 1 year remaining on his contract with the Redskins. I believe Kevin O'Connell is going to be here in 2020, barring some sea change, right? Kevin O'Connell had a damn good game plan for Dwayne today. Kevin O'Connell has ties to Ryan Day, who's the current Buckeyes head coach. Ryan Day obviously has ties to Urban Meyer. I mean,
triangle of ties there.
Depending how much we want to calculate, it's interesting.
Yeah. I think it's definitely worth a considerable bump. Who else would be favored to this point? Just guys like Ron Rivera and Mike McCarthy, those kinds of retreads.
Ron Rivera is just, you want him. You've been saying that
right.
a lot.
Well, just other coaches that have been fired or NFL guys that you recognize. But yeah, none of those guys can visit and sit in a box with Redskins ownership like Urban just did. That's a pretty...
And it could be nothing. Let's be crystal clear about that.
Yeah.
But
right. I'm taking it as something.
It's hard to say it's nothing.
It's not nothing. But it also might not be something.
There's a middle ground. I agree.
Absolutely a middle ground.
Okay. I think we've covered Urban.
Me too.
We've talked about Bruce at length. We don't know. And I'll say this, man. Bruce has dodged plenty of bullets. And maybe dodging another one. Who knows? We will see. My best guess remains Dallas week because it'll just kind of be off the radar a bit. And who the heck? Maybe they'll have a name by then. Who knows what's going to happen? We got 2 more weeks of wildness coming our way.
And that's
folks.
The thing. If Urban is the name, if Urban is the dude, you can do that Dallas week. There's no restriction to you can name him tomorrow.
You know what billionaires love? Getting over on other billionaires. You know what would be a giant high five? Announcing Urban Meyer as your next head coach going down to Jerry World.
Yep. And Dan loves Jerry. Respects him. Wants
looks
to impress
up to
him.
Yeah.
Right. And Dan doesn't have a whole lot of W's over Jerry.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Stadium or Urban Meyer at this point, maybe.
Podcast party, December 19th, Matchbox. Bring a toy. We're doing Toys for Tots.
We're filling 6 tubs.
Mitch is convinced we're going to fill 6 tubs. You better bring a lot of gifts there, fella.
I got a podcast listener from, I think they moved to Norway or whatever. Ben would be $20 for a toy to buy.
Hey, spend all $20 on a toy, Pete.
I'm going to. I'm going to get multiple toys.
I was going to say get multiple toys.
Yeah. I think a toy's $10. How much is a toy? 15?
Yeah. It's the guy who sent us Aquavit, moved from Netherlands to Norway.
Remember when I ate reindeer?
Yeah. Spicky-spacky.
Yeah. Spicky-spacky. Also, there's a
thank you, Ryan.
Toy store.
Thanks,
in the
in
same
the
shopping center
yeah.
that
I'm
Matchbox
going to hit that
in.
Before Matchbox. That's what I did last year. Very convenient. Bye bye baby.
Bye bye baby.
No, there's a bye bye baby, but then there's also a real toy store.
Yeah, we hit the toy store
with
last
B-Mitch.
Year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we spent a lot of money last year.
Tend to do that when you're with B-Mitch.
Yeah. Might do it again this year. All right. We covered Urban appropriately.
Yeah.
We gotta talk about the end of the game because it was incredibly disappointing. Dwayne led them on good drives to tie this thing up. Hopkins hit two bomb field goals. Good for Hop.
Yep.
Dwayne led them on two. Listen, so in the fourth quarter, a six-play, 30-yard drive that resulted in a field goal. That was, I think, after Ryan Anderson forced the fumble. And then another one. Oh, no, so that was after the Eagles scored.
Then Ryan Anderson, then the –
And then another, a four-play. So this is they didn't get much after that, but they got another field goal to take the lead. I mean, that's impressive to do in the last 10 minutes of a tight division game.
One of the more disappointing parts was Bill Callahan's idiotic challenge of the defensive pass interference.
Terrible. Why? They don't
they
overturn
that all
those.
Year, and you're asking them to overturn.
That was a weak.
We talked about Spicky-Spack. That was ticky-tack.
Dude, I don't even know if that was pass interference.
Yeah.
And there's.
I think that was a frustration. That was just out of pure frustration.
Well, guess what? They could have used an extra timeout on the last drive when they were rushing to throw a Hail Mary. I wanted to ask Bill about it, but he gave the weirdest press conference I've ever seen from him. He was in a strange mood at the podium. We asked him three different times, hey, Dwayne had one of his best games. What happened? Why did it happen? What was responsible for it? Bill just deflected and praised the team.
Really good effort by all of our players.
He got asked a couple other things that he just straight up ignored, and he wanted to leave the podium as soon as possible. I've never seen Bill that way before. It was odd.
And then when he got to the locker room, he beelined through the locker room. He walked by one of the assistant coaches and was like, hey, man, good game. And, like, gave him, like, the hardest high five. Like,
I saw that.
Like the when you're, like,
punking out your little brother.
Yep, exactly. When you're, like, F you, MF-er. Like,
yeah, feel free to be salty about the loss.
And then he went straight into his office, closed the door. We didn't see him we didn't see him the rest of the time.
That loss sucked, especially for an interim guy who maybe in his head thinks he can still get this job, but it was a really strange display afterward from him.
Not to mention late in the game as the Eagles are driving, I don't know that you deployed your timeouts correctly. Uncle David sent me a text that he thinks they should have called it earlier. I don't know about all that. You never know. But it sucks for the way that game finished because these guys played their guts out. Except Josh Norman.
And the exclamation point is that it was Josh Norman. It's the encumbrance of everything that he is.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that of course, he's just a game they played so well. The defense, you know, was dealing with all the injuries that the secondary was dealing with and still was holding up relatively well. And then you dot the I with Josh Norman giving up the game-winning touchdown.
Just a thundercloud over that guy's head.
On a crossing pattern.
From Greg Ward Jr.
In one-on-one coverage. Every
Pretty sure he fought Arturo Gatti.
Every sticking point that the Redskins have had over not just this year but years past, being bad at man coverage, being bad on crossing routes, Josh Norman not being able to cover.
It was
anyone.
All of it.
It was all of it. It was a straight sweep of things the Redskins defense has been bad at.
Encapsulation of the terrible Norman end of his tenure.
Yeah. I think we're at game balls.
Yes.
Real quick, Pete had it best. Josh cannot wait for the season to end.
Yeah, he needs this offseason.
If there's one guy who needs the offseason, it's that guy. Jump over some more.
He's
goals.
Not reinvigorated.
It's
That's
going,
a good thing.
It's going to be very interesting to see if and where and what kind of deal he gets next year.
It's going to be worth it for him to.
He said he's still an elite corner, right?
Yeah, he told Phillips that, I believe.
Who? How'd they talk to him?
I don't know. When I got in there, he looked like he was gone. I asked Kareem, was he in here? He said he didn't see him, so Phillips might have grabbed him on the way out.
Philly's got bulldog in him. He might have, like, chased
Philly's
him down.
Philly's got inner bulldog.
But it's also, I mean, Norman was sitting on the bench the entire game. The injury to
Colvin
happened, and, like, he stood up, slowly walked over to the defensive staff, put on his helmet, and walked in the game.
Yeah.
There was no stretching, no running.
Run like a quick sprint on the sideline.
Nothing to get warm at all. It looked like he was begrudgingly
like
going into
like
the game.
Like a beer league basball player, like checking in, thought his day was over, untied his shoes.
Jack some threes.
Yeah, he's like, oh,
give, like,
all right,
cursory,
cool.
Like stretch of the quads or anything.
Or like talk to a coach, like, oh, okay, just walked right in, dapped up Danny Johnson, then played.
Yep.
So God.
Disappointing indeed.
Game balls. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
We haven't talked about him yet. He deserves one. Ryan Anderson.
Absolutely.
Three forced fumbles in the last 2 weeks, two today, and it's weird how him, and it was Sweat in Carolina, get better when Kerrigan's off the field. I don't know. We have to explore that more, but really, really good stuff from Ryan Anderson, who has largely been just a run stuffer, a bust as a second rounder, but Ryan Anderson the past 2 weeks has not been a bust. He's been a big-time contributor.
And so I wanted to get Ryan Anderson for post-game. because he's really fun when you get him talking. And I thought if they won and he has two sacks, two forced fumbles, he would be all fired up. And then I see them coming off the field. I was standing there with you, Mitch, standing there by the locker room. And he is an unhappy large man,
yeah,
like screaming how unhappy he was. Yeah. And I decided not to ask Ryan to come on postgame after that.
Ryan also doesn't do a lot of
not a lot of media, but I thought it was the right time.
Today,
this was the time to do it.
Today he did do a group session. So
yeah.
He did
multiple group sessions, actually. And at one point at the end, we asked him what it felt like to lose to the Eagles, and he said, I hate those MFers, so.
Yep,
good. I heard call to dodge that one.
Heard that a few times. I don't know if that was the right move for live television.
Yeah.
Thank you to AP for coming on, who was great, always is great. I'll give a game ball to AP. I mean, he finished with almost 100 total yards. You know, Dwayne was dumping it off to him. He had three catches for 25. The touchdown run where he just broke it back the other way, and McLaurin held his block late.
That was a Hall of Fame run.
It was. Hall of Famer doing Hall of Fame things, yeah. Mitch. I'll go AP. You're up. Yeah. We got a weird counterclockwise here.
Counterclockwise thing. That just throw Dwayne Haskins in there.
I mean, sure, yeah, absolutely.
We've talked about it enough. Don't need to go much.
An unquestioned game ball for Dwayne. I think it's the first of his career.
Unquestioned. Yeah. Well done.
Like, oh, it might be a hat tip, but you got him. No, it's a definite game ball.
Also, we'll run the AP store interview tomorrow on the pod, but he has a really cool story about who got the game ball from his touchdown.
I will say Terry McLaurin. Another bomb game against the Eagles. Santana's the Cowboys killer. McLaurin looks like he might be the Eagle killer.
The Eagle hunter.
We hadn't seen him show the 4.35 speed in a while. It's been a lot of intermediate stuff, tough contested catches, but he pulled away from the Philly defense. A couple other really nice snags. I mean, they signed him to a 20-year extension yesterday.
So, McLaurin's stat line, 5 catches, 130 yards, 1 touchdown, the 75-yard TD. Tells the story well because that's a bomb stat line. But so this morning, I reported that Brandon Scherff was going to miss the game. And I was talking with Redskins Talk podcast Philadelphia correspondent, our dear friend Mr. Dave Zangaro, on the sideline. And Z was like, dude, isn't Scherff like their best player? Is that going to be a big problem for them? I was like, Scherff's really good, but I think Terry McLaurin's their best player at this point. If you have to pick the best player, and maybe you go Daron Payne or Matt Ioannidis still, but – I kind of think it's Terry.
Yeah, I think Dave probably sat in the press box and said, JP's right, this guy is really damn
good. The best player on offense.
Certainly.
I mean,
and that includes AP, who's still really good, but not as good as he once was.
Yeah. I think you're right, best player.
Is it back to me?
Yeah.
Is it? No, it's Mitch. This order is very weird.
You go.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yes, very easy.
This way is clockwise. It's your way.
It's your turn.
Hopkins. I think Hopkins played well, man. Two bombs.
Stole that one from me because I got some heat last week after giving
Danny Frank was
from Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
But
shout out to all the Mount Rushmore guys. I was texting with Jay and Chuck Honey during the game. I hope everybody's doing well. John Nestor missed an appearance. What the hell? Are you all right? Send proof of life, Nestor.
I'm willing to forgive him.
Let us know that you're good.
I'm willing to forgive
him. I'm worried about him, Pete.
Yeah.
He has a chance to prove it at the podcast party because none of those other guys are going to be there. Right. New York, Richmond, they ain't coming.
Right.
I'm going to go with Steven Sims Jr.
For sure.
Not just
a couple drops,
but the touchdown, he was making a difference in the
kick game
again, which is something.
Are we sure it's not a hat tip with the drops?
Yeah.
I think it's a touchdown.
I'm giving him a full-on game ball.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was a really, really nice touchdown catch, and they're getting something in special teams that they haven't gotten.
Since B-Mitch was playing.
Yeah. Forever. They wanted to get it out of Deshaun Jackson.
Hats up to B-Mitch for the music coming from the club.
Yeah. Definitely.
We're going to that club next week. It's the last game.
B-Mitch was rocking some music.
Well, we have no idea if he's actually up there, but we just think he is.
Yeah.
In our minds, he is anyway.
Yeah. If there's a club and there's fun to be had, B-Mitch is usually around.
Right.
I think Steven Sims pulled off what is called the Rashad Ross. He now has a receiving touchdown, a kickoff return touchdown, and a rushing touchdown all in the same year.
Like it.
The slot job should be his. It's risky to give it to an undrafted guy after a handful of games, but he's so much better than Trey Quinn. Let him be there for years to come.
Any other game balls? Urban for showing up and giving us a wild pregame?
Yeah. You forgetting the Urban scoop?
Tress won.
That was a good scoop.
Tress had a touchback.
He had a touchback, but he also pinned him inside the 5 multiple times. He's had better games than maybe we could have given him one for. I'm going to give him a hat tip.
Hat tip, yeah. Hat tip to FedEx Field Press Box for giving us that cookie vanilla ice cream.
I tell you what,
dessert.
We knock FedEx all the time, and rightfully so, most of the time. So. That dessert was fantastic.
I would have gotten that at a five-star restaurant.
Yeah, it was great.
Yes.
And you know what? FedEx Press Box, best Dr. Pepper in the NFL, and damn good popcorn.
Yeah.
But you said today was a bad batch.
Wasn't their best.
But there's pieces to build around.
Yeah.
Much like the team.
You can sell that. You can sell that to other reporters that might move here in the future.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Carolina had some really good popcorn, too.
Anything else on the positive side before we go to the negative side? I get to go first on goats, and I have a huge one.
Okay.
Are we going there?
Yeah, the commissioner. You're going to tease it up that way.
Yeah.
Monte Nicholson. Dude.
Doofus.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. All of the stuff surrounding him. It's just.
That play today, there are plenty of plays where a guy gets hit in. You're like, oh, my God, 10 years ago, yeah. I would have never gotten called a penalty. I can't believe that shoulder to shoulder.
Blatant,
was
dumb, cheap shot.
Dumb, late, unnecessary, cheap shot.
Yeah.
It wasn't helmet to helmet, and that's probably why you didn't get ejected. But if he's 2 inches higher with that hit, he's out of the game, and it's so dumb.
Yeah, it wasn't even the quality of hit. It was just the timing of it, the blatancy of it.
He had to have seen the ball go.
Yeah, just a joke.
Yeah, that was bad. Hell, I'll take another easy one. Josh Norman.
Yeah.
Not only for the touchdown play, but just for the seeming lack of interest and ability to make a play at all this season.
Yeah, totally agree.
Season-long goat.
I got to go back. I've got this one on Twitter. This is a game ball that we missed. Mm-hmm. This is Coach A. Guild sent me this on Twitter. Game ball got to go to KOC. He's called a gem. I agree. I thought it was a really good game plan. Kept Dwayne comfortable. Good down in distances in a lot of this. You didn't see Dwayne in the shotgun in third and 14.
Do you have third down stats up by chance?
I couldn't have them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. We've seen some progression from the defensive coaching
staff. I have them. They're going to be uglier than you think.
Where we got excited about them mixing up their coverages and whatnot. We're seeing KOC maybe get a little more comfortable and be able to expand.
Or maybe just have more power, more authority to call what he wants.
Regardless of what it was, we saw.
It's all about power, you know.
We saw much more aggressive offense than we've seen, much more creative offense than we've seen, and that was a good sight. Attacking
Dude.
Success.
Yeah, I don't know if the third down numbers are better or worse. I'm just curious to hear them.
Well, hang on. Skins finished today with 362 total net yards. That is their highest output since week one against the Philadelphia Eagles.
They got the Eagles numbers.
Got close. They put up 356 against the Bears. But a lot of that was junk late in the blowout. Put up 311 against Miami. Those are their only other times over 300 total yards.
Yeah, I
want to
say I'm glad they're back at their highest peak, but for 360 to be their best is a little bit.
You know what? Sorry, they put up the exact same number, 362 against the Panthers. So strike that from the record.
Yeah.
But that was all on the ground.
So stricken. Pete, you're next for goats.
I might be botching this. I don't see any other obvious goats.
I agree.
Like I want to give Callahan
a canned kick. On the level of Monte and Josh.
I want to give Callahan a canned kick just for the challenge. And
the challenge was terrible.
And then the bizarre behavior afterward.
You know what? I want to give a hat tip to the guards.
Wes Martin.
Guard.
Eric Flowers had another solid game on the touchdown that AP cut back. He the direction that AP was supposed to go on the play, he pulled out in front and knocked the living snot out of the dude. AP was able to cut back because there was nobody left on that side of the ball to do anything. And Wes Martin stepped in and played well. I think he had one penalty called against him, if I'm not mistaken. But
yes.
We all have talked, not just this week or this year, about how good the Eagles' pass rush is and how good the Eagles are at stopping the run. And that front four is incredibly solid. Wes played well.
Yeah,
I agree. He was able to get out in space.
Wes and Eric both stepping up and playing well might create an opportunity that the Redskins don't have to do something with Brandon Sheriff that they don't want to do.
Yeah.
It's an interesting situation, man.
Yeah, that's a sneaky storyline to check in.
Yeah,
check
that's
in
something
on.
We're digging.
Like, Bruce and head coaching and all that, but Sheriff at guard is a sneaky, important thing.
And think about it this way.
Bounty of interior offensive linemen.
I think bounty's a little bit of a stretch.
They have some bodies.
Think about it this way.
Bounty.
2015 first-round pick. This is his fifth year. You're just going to let a first-round pick walk? Dude, not just first-round pick, fifth overall. That guy's supposed to play for you for 12 years.
Especially when he's been good, which he has been.
They also drafted him as a tackle. Was not good enough to play tackle. Got moved inside.
Hey, the team kind of shows a willingness to let a lot of guys walk.
Yeah.
Compensatory picks.
But the guy who loves those maybe not isn't long for this franchise.
We don't know. We don't know.
They did well with a third-round pick, though, this year.
Anybody else? No. We're going long.
Yeah. Well, we should. This is an important day in Redskins history.
I don't know that I have any others.
I'm out.
Couple things here. Over-unders. Did you sweep them, Pete?
I think I did.
Wow.
I think I was the anti-sweep.
I have an apology at the very end of this podcast for our international folks. So if you want to stick around for that.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, I think I do too.
Over-unders, Pete.
Adrian Peterson, the number was 94. Pete was under. JP and Mitch were over. Peterson finished with
66.
That is a Pete victory. Haskins 200. Pete over. JP Mitch under. Haskins went over that, as we know.
Pete, clean
sweep. And
then
McLaurin 4.5.
I had this.
JP and I were both over. Mitch under.
As big of a game as he had, he still only had 5 catches.
It's weird. He hasn't had like a 7 or 8er.
I felt like I was on the right side of this thing, despite having 3 catches in the first quarter.
Yeah. So I've now clinched at least a share of the season-long crown.
So congrats, dude.
It's 4-2 with 2 games left.
It's getting dicey, Mitch. So we have to be strategic here, and just you and I can't be on the same side for the next couple weeks.
But here, I bet that's not going to work out well. You'll forget it, and then it'll be funny to watch.
Yeah, I think that's a very easy bet.
Yeah.
Let's say this about Terry, too. All the focus has been on AP getting to 1,000. Terry McLaurin's now at 833 yards on the season today. 2 games left.
Who do you feel more confident in getting to 1,000?
Terry.
Yeah.
How about last season?
I think
Jordan
Reed
led the team in receiving with 530-something yards.
They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since Pierre and Deshaun were here. I don't know that they've had a rookie get to 1,000 in a long time. I think Gary Clark holds the rookie record. I'll have to try to track that down.
Also, let's talk about – and this is part of a bigger conversation, but NFL league-wide, rookie receivers – don't come in and dominate. Don't come in and play well generally, because it's a position that has some growing pains, and it's remarmable what Terry's doing.
7 touchdowns. He's scoring too.
But considering how putrid this offense has been for the majority of the season, to Terry be getting to close to milestone numbers.
There weren't a lot of days like today offensively.
Right. Haven't been a lot of 200-plus yard passing days.
Right.
Out of this offense. So,
I'm intrigued to see McLaurin with a stud across from him if they're able to do that via free agency or the draft.
They haven't had a 200-yard passing day since week 3 before today.
Barf.
That can't be right. Didn't he get to 200 against the Jets?
Yeah, he did. 218 against the Jets. He got 214 or 218 or whatever.
That's interesting because Pro Football Reference has it different.
Well, he probably had 218 passing, but then sacks lost.
Yeah, because they have him at 170. Whatever, dude. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank the great people, Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. I want you to do the same thing.
And CVS Health.
And CVS Health, certainly. All right, now everybody, especially all the lawyers and bosses and everything, stop listening now.
Yeah.
Okay, see you guys. That's it.
Yeah, see ya. Right, if you made it this far, I owe you a beer. Thursday night, podcast party. See you there. All right, this is sincere. I see your tweets. I get your emails. I am very sorry about the Friday podcast. It is out of our hands. There's legitimately nothing we can do. We'll see what the schedule will look like once we get to the offseason, and we'll kind of go from there. But know that we hear you, and there's nothing we can do on this, folks. I know the international folks can't watch the stream, and it bugs them.
And the local and the
there are plenty of people
who can't see it and get frustrated.
Right.
We're frustrated about it too, but
I don't know that we're frustrated, Mitch. Let's not say too much here, pal. It's something that we're all working through.
Yeah. As a family.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
Okay. He's not. You and I are powerless.
Yeah. We're not F-A's.
Big man's over there swinging.
I'm just happy to have a microphone and be on this podcast with you guys.
I'm swinging.
Okay. All right.
But yes, we see the messages, and it's a disappointing thing for us to say that we can't do anything, but it's.
Is it? I thought we just decided we weren't saying that. Pete
just doubled down. Yeah. Powerless Pete swinging
powerless
too.
Pete.
That was an accidental swing.
All right. Yeah. We got to go.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Good thing we ended this earlier.
The good thing nobody's listening.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening if you are, which is only like 7 of you in Norway and the Netherlands.
Right.
And
our good friends in England.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And we'll see you Thursday night. Matchbox, Rockville.
Woo-hoo.
Adios.
'What the hell does that mean?
The Lions' offense is pretty bad and helped the Redskins look good. The Redskins' offense, the Redskins' defense, sorry, made the Lions' offense look pretty bad too.
What?
I kind of get what he's saying. There's, you know how it's
their cause effect, cause
effect, force person.
Sounded really smart here, fellas.
Yeah.
Object and force.
An object in motion stays in motion until...
A movable force and an unstoppable object or some crap, whatever that is. I think it's the exact opposite of that.
Let's just move on, unless you're headed somewhere with this.
Two bad units playing each other, both look make each other look better.
Okay.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.